Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed the child in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me." See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the opening prayer of the Mass, we turned to God and asked for two things: that we will always be defended by our guardian angels, that we will allow ourselves to be defended because our will's there, but that we will rejoice eternally in their company. Sometimes when we think about that, we can think eschatologically, that we hope one day with all the saints and the angels to be able to rejoice in heaven, and that's part of this. But eternity isn't later. Eternity is totum semo. We're asking God for the grace to be able to rejoice with our guardian angels now and forever. And every October 2nd, in a particular way, is an opportunity for us to rejoice in the present with those who have been sent to help us to get to the place where we will be able to rejoice forever. What an incredible gift it is that God has given us a particular angel, a celestial bodyguard, a tutor, a helper, a friend. It's one of the greatest signs that God will give us of just how important not only we are for Him, but how important our mission is, that He has given us a celestial helper to be able to be with us in all aspects of our life. God has sent them to guide us, as we pray in the first reading from the book of Exodus, to that place where God has prepared. And they're always at our side, doing for us what Raphael did for Raguel/Tobias. Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us something very important about angels that we have to focus on in an age that's hyper-rationalistic and materialistic. And if we can't see something in a microscope, we just presume it's not there. Guardian angels are as real as the wooden pews you're sitting on. The Catechism says the whole life of the Church benefits from the mysterious and the powerful help of angels. First, mystery. We're not going to be able fully to comprehend it because of our human finitude, limited by its five senses, but also powerful help of angels. They are so strong. In her liturgy, the Church joins with the angels to adore the thrice holy God. She invokes their assistance. So we pray with the angels. We'll talk about that more. From its beginning until death, human life is surrounded by their watchful care and intercession. They're on the lookout for us, but they're always praying for us before the face of the Father. Beside each believer, this is quoting St. Basil, stands an angel as protector and shepherd, leading him to life. Already here on earth, the Christian life shares by faith in the blessed company of angels and men united to God. They're real. The reality we have to confront is most of us are somewhat impervious and oblivious to their presence in our day-to-day existence. So many of us go about life without a vivid present awareness of the supernatural realm of angels on the one hand, of fallen angels on the other. Well, we theoretically believe they exist. We live as if they don't. Today's feast is a chance for us to open up to the truth that reality is much broader than we ordinarily behave, and begin to live better this real world in all its practical circumstances. Today God told the Israelites in Exodus, be attentive to him and heed his voice. Don't rebel against him. If you heed his voice and care at all, I'll tell you, I'll be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. God calls us first to acknowledge that he has sent his angel in front of us, to be attentive to him, to heed his voice, and to carry out all he tells us through him. But how do we do that? Of course, none of us wants to disobey what God commands us through our guardian angel. But how can we follow someone we can't see? How can we heed somebody's voice we can't register on a decibel meter? How can we observe commands that are not communicated in ways that, at least up until this point, we've been able to perceive? First thing we need to do is be aware of our guardian angel's presence and acknowledge him. To recognize the truth that we're not alone. Even if we can't perceive him with our five senses, to recognize that he is nevertheless there as the biggest supporter we've ever had, seeking to help us sanctify every breath. Second, we need trustingly to ask for our guardian angel's help. Today we can ponder how to do that with regard to certain fundamental aspects of our life. First is the way that guardian angels wants to help us in prayer. First, we can pray to our guardian angel. It's a great prayer many of us learned as kids that we should pray with fervor. It's based on what we ponder today in sacred scripture. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to light and guard, rule and guide. We can also rely on our guardian angel's prayers before God's throne, because as Jesus tells us in the Gospel, our guardian angel is always looking upon the face of the Heavenly Father and interceding for us, contemplating God. We can also ask our guardian's help to pray and pray better. We can ask him to pray alongside of us. When we're aware of our guardian angel, we're never praying alone. We're always in communion. And then to teach us how to pray better. We know that there are four forms of prayer, or five if you want to separate intercession and petition. And our guardian angel helps us with each one. First and most important form of prayer is praise, giving God the honor and the love and the adoration according to how lovable he is. No one can teach us better how to do that than the angels, who have been praising God before his throne since the foundation of everything. We wish to make our own the words we pray in the Psalms. In the sight of the angels, I will sing, not just say, but sing your praises, Lord. I'll sing with great joy. Second form of prayer is thanksgiving, and our guardian angels can help us not only thank God for the grace of which we're aware, but of the vast many more of which we're unaware. For example, our guardian angels are conscious of the many times we might have died if God, through their work, hadn't intervened to keep someone off the road who may have collided with us. They can fill us with thanksgiving for every grace, seen and unseen, because they know. One of the simple prayers is, Lord, I'd like to thank you for everything my guardian angel is thanking you for. Third, they can help us pray for forgiveness with greater contrition, to examine our consciences and prepare for the sacrament of confession better. Our guardian angels, by God's design, know our every sinful thought, our every lie or bad word, every sinful action, every time we should have been the Good Samaritan but walked on the other side. They were commissioned by God to protect us from each of these sins, but they can't control our will. They need our cooperation. For that reason, how much shame we've brought to our guardian angel through our sins, but at the same time, how much joy we've brought them when we've responded to the graces they've sought to bring us to conversion, to confession, and to new life. So they help us with our contrition and our conversion. They also help us with our prayer, petition, and intercession for others. They're constantly interceding for us and for the good and for our good intentions for others before the throne of God. They teach us similarly how to pray without ever losing heart, because they never quit, even when their subjects seem to. So they help us to pray. Second, they help us with work and daily life. Many times when I'm faced with work I'm unenthusiastic about, I know that that never happens to you. But I ask my own guardian angel's help to do it well, to do it quickly, to do it in a holy way, offering it to God for others. When I need to do something that I find hard, to solve a problem I can't quite figure out, I ask my guardian angel's help to find a way toward a solution. When I'm on hold on the phone, I pray through my guardian angel to the guardian angels of the employees on the other line, asking for them to come more quickly rather than to go for another cup of coffee or waste time. When I've been looking for a parking spot in order to be able to bring someone Holy Communion or to anoint someone, I regularly ask the guardian angel's assistance for someone in the neighborhood to run an errand at that time. They want to help us. They want to guide us in all our ways. And they're never upset to be asked for this help for things that will help us to do what God is asking. And third, with regard to our mission of spreading the faith to others, our apostolate, the guardian angels are particularly helpful. Every time I mount the pulpit, I say two things after I say the prayer that the church asks, that the Lord might purify my heart and my lips, that I might worthily proclaim his gospel. I pray to the guardian angel and to the guardian angels of, to my guardian angel to help me and to the guardian angels of all my listeners, that God might really open them up with good soil to the seed he wants to use me as a sower to plant. And I also pray to the Holy Spirit, and I just simply say, Holy Spirit, you're on. But every time we're trying to communicate the faith, we're always doing so in cooperation with our guardian angels. The guardian angels of everyone to whom we're speaking. St. Jose Maria Escrivá, who 92 years ago today was asked by Lord Chaum, Opus Dei, and today is the founding of the work. He had an incredible awareness of the guardian angels. And whenever he would walk into a room to greet someone, he would first always greet what he called el personaje, the big shot in the room, before he would even greet the person who was waiting. And that would help him always to keep his supernatural focus, because that was true. It's never a one-on-one conversation with someone else. The guardian angels are always present. So even in those intimidating conversations or those difficult ones, we should never be afraid. I'd like to finish by pondering how the guardian angel seeks to get us to pray the Mass. Several years ago, when I was preaching a retreat for all the seminarians of the three dioceses at Huntington, there was a magazine there at my bedstand. I picked it up and fingered through it, and there was a story about a Bolivian mystic named Catalina Rivas, That seems to be quite plausibly true. As Catholics, as you know, we're never obliged to accept private revelations given others. The reason why private revelations are given is to help us remember something in the full public revelation and to apply it better. At the time of the offertory, Catalina heard Our Lady saying to her, suddenly some characters. So she started to see a vision, and Our Lady was explaining it to her. Suddenly some characters who I had not seen before began to stand up. It was as if from the side of each person present in the cathedral another person emerged, and soon the cathedral became full of young, beautiful people. They were dressed in very white robes. They started to move into the central aisle and then toward the altar. Mary said, observe. These are the guardian angels of each one of the persons here. This is the moment in which your guardian angel carries your offerings and petitions before the altar of the Lord. She said, at that moment I was completely astonished because these things had such beautiful faces, so radiant as one is unable to imagine. Their countenance was very beautiful with almost feminine faces. However, the structure of their body, their hands, their height were masculine. Their naked feet didn't touch the floor, but rather they went as if gliding. How beautiful that procession was. Some of them were carrying something like a golden bowl with something shining a great deal with a golden light. The Virgin said, these are the guardian angels of the people who are offering this holy mass for many intentions, who are conscious of what it means. They have something to offer the Lord. Offer yourselves at this moment. Offer your sorrows, your pains, your hopes, your sadness, your joys, your petitions. Remember that the Mass has infinite value. Therefore, be generous in offering and in asking. Behind the first angels came others who had nothing in their hands. They were completely empty-handed. The Virgin Mother said, these are the angels of the people who are here, but who never offer anything. They have no interest in living each liturgical moment of the Mass. They have no gifts to carry before the altar of the Lord. At the end of the procession came other angels who were rather sad, with their hands joined in prayer, but with their eyes downcast. These are the guardian angels of the people who are here, but don't want to be. That's to say, the people who have been forced to come, we've come out of obligation, but without any desire to participate in the Holy Mass. The angels go forth sadly because they have nothing to carry to the altar except their own prayers. And then Our Lady said, don't sadden your guardian angel. Ask for much. Ask for the conversion of sinners. Ask for peace in the world, for your families, your neighbors, all those who ask for your prayers. Ask. Ask for a lot. But not only for yourselves, but for everyone else. Remember that the offering that most pleases the Lord is when you offer yourselves as a holocaust, so that Jesus, upon his descent, may transform you by his own merits. Today our guardian angels have guided us to Mass and are so pleased we've said yes to our vocation and that we're here. But they want to help us truly to pray and live the Mass. They want us to prepare for them golden bowls to carry our offerings to the Lord, our sufferings, our work, our prayers, our whole life. Let's ask their help to assist us every day to form these golden luminescent bowls so that we may join them in praising God in this world and rejoice in their company, praising God eternally.